There are two readings this morning. The first one is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through workers' groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And 44 to 52. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw away the bad. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How do you understand all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house. brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not sure whether you have been following the lectionary. Do you follow the lectionary here, Lorraine?
I do, but
you do.
We don't. I do on Wednesday, but other than that, we don't.
Right, okay. Well, if you had been doing on Sundays, and if you've been to Wednesdays, you would have heard over the last few weeks various parables spoken by Jesus, the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and tares. And today we hear more. And whenever I hear a parable, I picture Jesus. I picture him standing there with the crowd in front of him. And he's talking. And he's talking in a way that the crowd can understand. He's not using complicated words. He's using a language that the people who are listening, who are eager to hear from Jesus, can understand. I can remember on my first residential of ordination training, off I went, and after the first session, I remember saying to a colleague, "My goodness me, I've never knew there were so many ologies. Every word ended with an ology." And since then, I've been called her ology. Because it just seemed to be so complicated, unnecessarily complicated, and making the gospel relevant to people. And Jesus did not make things complicated. He spoke it in a way that those who were listening would understand. Because simple, he wanted to keep their attention. That's what he wanted to achieve, because they'd come to listen. They come to discover, and he wanted to keep their attention. So in the last few weeks, as I mentioned, Matthew, our gospel reader, a writer this year, wrote powerfully using the images that Jesus would have done. And the ones that we've heard today are the mustard seed, the yeast, the treasure, and the pearls, and the fish. And these all speak about the kingdom of God. How often have you lost something? And you search, and you search, and you search. And if you're like me, you get very annoyed because you can't find it. You know it's somewhere in the house, but can you find it? And you stop searching, and suddenly you find it without looking. And it's always been where you looked before, but you never saw it. Because our eyes were blind. We expect it to be somewhere we couldn't see it. And sometimes when people are trying to discover what the kingdom of God looks like, they can't see it because they're looking for something different than what it actually is at that moment in time. We all are yearning for something about what the kingdom of God looks for us. And sometimes we are expecting it to be so big, and that's why we can't see it. But often it's in the most subtle things that happen that we can see the kingdom of God alive in our days today. And as we come out of lockdown and we begin to what's now become the phrase, the new normal, we will have other ways of showing and declaring God's kingdom to people. The mustard seed, if I had one in my hand, you probably wouldn't be able to see it because it's so tiny. But it grows into something that's quite spectacular, as our parable told us. Because everything has to start from somewhere. Everything has a beginning. And if we think about the time of Jesus, when he spoke through parables? Was he trying, was he and his disciples, had they had a strategy meeting? Had they sat down and worked out their plan of action, targets, objectives? I don't think so. They just wanted to start to tell people about Jesus and the kingdom of God because they knew that people wanted to hear. So he took an audience like you who'd come for miles to hear his word. And he spoke to them because there was a keenness, there was an eagerness, there was a willingness to listen. So they didn't sit there and say, right, we're going to convert the world today. No, no. They said, we'll talk to those who come to listen. And then they too can go and tell others. They too can then begin to express what the kingdom of God is like. It was like the mustard seed being compared to the world. And I think if you are like me, there are some times in life when you begin a particular project and when you get to the end of it, if you knew what was involved in the middle, you would never have started, because it seemed to go on and on and on. I've just finished all my academic study in relation to ordination. Now, if I'd known what was involved, I might never have got involved. It all started in September 2013, that's 7 years ago. And I remember, you know Anne Norman? Yeah. Halfway through, she said to me, you've got another 4 years to go, Jim. I went, how many? Didn't realise. I don't tell you this thing at the beginning. I don't tell you. It's all small steps. Because I think, I mean, I never realised that I was going, as I began to do my tester module, that it was all towards a degree. Didn't know that. Probably wouldn't have done it if I'd have known. And I certainly didn't know that when I was in QSC, I'd be expected to study for postgraduate as well as train to run a parish. Didn't know that. Might never have done it. But I've done it all. And I didn't do it on my own, obviously. I did it with guidance and support of God and the Holy Spirit. But sometimes in life, we don't proceed to do anything because it's too much, too big. But when it comes to about building the kingdom of God, we shouldn't look at the bigger picture. We should look at the picture that is in front of us and take the small steps, because the small steps go into something bigger. But whenever we look back on something, we do value that experience, I'm sure. I could go on, I've got many other examples, but I've got to get back to slavery and take a service at 10:30. So building the kingdom of God is, we have to take small steps. And I think as we begin to come out of lockdown, we need to begin to think, what does the church look like? And how can we express, that's what I'm telling the folks at slavery, how can we express the kingdom of God in today's world, in post-lockdown? I was talking to Lorraine and Colin about online services now, where people engage for morning prayer and night prayer daily with us, not just from the parish, but from around the world. And you have to think, well, do we stop doing this, or do we carry on? Because we started through lockdown, but my goodness me, there's still a desire, because the people who gather for morning prayer, trust me, they wouldn't gather in church. But they gather in at home and pray. So that's good. All things, these things to be looking at. Now the parables, the first few parables we heard about today, were all about encouragement. And where Jesus tells it as it is. And there's one last parable that Jesus spoke about today, and that's about the fish. And I should not ignore that one. Again, Jesus tells it as it is. The fish were caught in the net, and some were saved, and some were not. Eternal life is available, and it's available to all. But, as we know, there's always a but. And the question is, do you believe? And then the next question would be, I believe, but what do you believe in? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And that's the question that has to be answered. And it's not just saying, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. It's not just by leading what might be classed as a pious life. We have to show people that Jesus exists and Jesus is alive today. We can't see him, we can't touch him. We can only picture what he might look like. We've seen all the pictures, but we don't know whether they're accurate, do we? We can only get this image in our minds. But when we read the scriptures, we can be enriched by what our call to be is. So by being a believer and a follower of Jesus, it is our responsibility to show others what this is like. Where they will gather, like others did in the time of Jesus, will come and gather in places of worship. And there are people today who really would like to, but are still feeling hesitant to do, not because they don't want to come into the building, but of the situation we are presently living in. They're feeling anxious about coming into confined spaces. So out in the big wide world, as we leave these churches, our churches, it is our responsibility to show genuine love, to work to support the oppressed, the vulnerable, and those who cannot speak for themselves, just like Jesus did in his day. And then people will begin to see that the kingdom of God is alive today. Amen.